ようこそどうぞ、はじめまして。
Hello everyone, welcome to the Glorio Chat, the best anime podcast ever recorded.
Ever, this specific episode.
In my living room.
Sure.
this specific episode is the end all be all of anime podcasts.
Sure, yeah. Well, one day I'll settle on it.
The Justice Evangelion of anime podcasts.
Yes, that'd be the greatest mecha anime of all time.
Y'all just trying to wind me up.
we got to get you fired up for this topic, G. This is what you're. This, you know, you've been waiting for this. So
I have.
Yeah. So we do have a topic show this week. We're gonna let G get some things off his chest. I think it's well documented. G very much likes mecha anime. It's come up a lot.
I think the rest of us like.
Yeah,
mecha
we all do too. We all do too. I think we usually point to G as sort of our specialist in the field, but you know we
mecha
all,
correspondent.
Yeah, and so you know that's kind of what we're going to talk about. You know the state of mecha anime has kind of framed a lot of our discussions, both on the podcast and off the podcast. And so we thought it would be fun to just do an actual podcast about it. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're as far as who we have this week, we're three man in it. So I'm Jell. We have Iroh.
Hi.
And we have G.
Yo, yo.
You've already heard their voices. So yeah.
Team USA Light.
Team USA Light. Yes. Minus one.
Team USA Diet.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Zig wanted to be on this week, but he's at a quote-unquote...
He's at MCM, isn't he?
Quote-unquote con. And that's what...
He's out in the field. He's getting it done.
not even quote-unquote. It's like a huge con.
Yeah, he's hustling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Taking photos of cosplay people.
I don't actually know what he's doing out there. I'm just...
I'm trying to make him sound like cool and mysterious, and now you're just like taking this totally.
He is cool and mysterious. How many people do you know are good at photography?
I
know a lot of people who claim they're good at it.
That is a good answer.
On Facebook.
Good answer, G. Yes. No, Zig is very good at what he does, and you should all check out his photography. But yeah. So unfortunately, he couldn't be here, but yeah, we've got a good crew today and a good discussion. So let's get into it. So just to kind of set the table for this discussion, you know, I was thinking about what we were going to talk about. You know, with these topic shows, we've tended to do like the whole like history backstory or whatever the topic. I don't necessarily want to get into that with mecha anime because there's a lot. And also, I think...
This shit's been around for
a
while.
I mean, the history of mecha anime is practically the history of anime itself, right? I mean, like, I feel like...
Yeah, kind of.
I feel like almost every notable show made before 2000 has some kind of, like, mecha element in it, one way or the other. So, I mean,
Gigantor is, like, one of the first anime ever made.
Yeah, even if you go back to, like, you know, Astro Boy, or even like, Speed Racer, he has, like, a high-tech car thing, right? You know, it's, like, that's just kind of part of the...
You know, for better or worse, the history of anime, you know, like if you go back, like, yes, to its origins, even in the 1960s, like, to go broader than robots, right? Like, technology has always been, like, a prominent aspect of the medium.
Right. So, it's baked into the DNA of anime. So, you know, I feel like everything before 2000 is, like, you've got cool robots and hot girls, and that's like pretty much the template, right? So needless to say, things have changed a bit in the past, you know, almost two decades, particularly in the post-Evangelion world, and we'll get into that. So, you know, we're just going to talk about some of the good things we like about mecha, you know, both new and old, and some of the problems with it that we face now. In the current state of things, and probably the most interesting part of this discussion is, you know, what we would like to see in the future. So that is pretty much the gist of what we're going to talk about. So, you know, let's start on a positive note and talk about some of the good. Talk about some of the good things. So, kind of setting a baseline for our standards here on, you know, what makes good mecha anime. You know, what are some of the shows that we like? You know, what do we like about them? So, you know,
can we just say the collected works of Gainax?
That might be a good place to start.
I mean, I think that, yeah, that's a good place to start. Honestly, I mean, you know, for maybe some of the younger fans out there who might not know, but once upon a time, there was a studio called Gainax who could be considered, you know, or at least in the running for being considered one of the most influential anime studios of all time. They created some of maybe the most iconic mecha anime, such as Gunbuster, Evangelion, and Gurren Lagann. And sometimes it's hard to tell, right? Did Gainax make great mecha anime, or were they just very good at making anime, period, and they just happened to like giant robots very much? But either way, I think, you know, we would start on Gainax for what are the mecha anime we like, because for better or worse, they've always, I think, had a very good broad appeal. You know, their shows have always been well-crafted. They've always had an undeniable passion, I think, from its creators. Yeah. You know, I mean, the thing about Gainax is, while they are known for things like Evangelion and Gurren Lagann and Die Buster and Fooly Cooly, is that also those are shows they made basically every 5 years, because the other 4 years...
Right, ain't nobody fucking talking about This Ugly Beautiful World or whatever.
Like, they still had talented people working on them, but basically Gainax basically just did jobs for the money until they saved up enough money to do their crazy dream projects. But those dream projects would almost always go on to be the kind of defining works of their respective eras.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could go on for a while about like the mecha anime that I like, so maybe you guys could go first and just talk about like other ones that stick out for you guys.
I think Gainax is great. I mean, that's got a lot of like you said, the mass appeal, and a lot of that is, I think, you know, this might touch a nerve, G, but it's more than just the robots. You know,
choose the words that hurt me the most. But
well,
sure,
that's the thing. They have the robots, and those are cool. But they also, on top of that, there are a lot of other, you know, themes and areas that they're exploring. And those three shows that you mentioned, Gunbuster, Evangelion, and Gurren Lagann, are all like very different shows, even though they're all, you know, technically, you know, mecha anime. So, you know, they cover a lot of ground. They're very well made, and you know, it's no surprise that a lot of people like them. But yeah, you know, as far as, you know, things I like, I generally tend to be, and especially in my old age where I'm less interested in kind of action stuff and more interested in, you know, story and character stuff, I tend to be fairly indifferent about mecha anime. Although, again, if you ask me what my favorite anime is, most of them are going to be like, you know, the original Super Dimensional Fortress Macross, which is a mecha anime, technically.
yeah, it is.
Sorry, you didn't say Robotech. Now Harmony Gold.
Oh yeah, you come at me, Harmony Gold. I don't want any of that.
Please don't sue us, Harmony Gold.
Don't sue us, Harmony Gold. I have no money. Yeah. So I mean, that's like in my top five favorite anime. You know, we mentioned Fooly Cooly, which I don't know if I would say strictly is a mecha anime, but there's a lot of that DNA in it. And you know, it's one of those Gainax shows. You know, frankly, Evangelion, as even though it's kind of the cool hipster thing to hate on that these days, is still one of my favorite anime of all time. So yeah, you know, it's, even though I don't often think of myself as like a huge mecha fan, you know, if you looked at my top 10 favorite anime, there's quite a few of them in there.
I mean, there's quite a few robots in that list, I'd say, you know?
Yeah.
and I think, you know, not to derail the conversation too much because, you know, there's plenty of room left in this podcast to do that. But I think in some ways, like, right, like you say you're not a mecha fan. And like, I think, you know, again, that's a totally valid stance to take. But also, I think that also speaks to maybe how broad the genre can be, though. Like, because mecha have been so intrinsically tied to the medium itself, right? You know, I think it perhaps speaks to, you know, like we have our assumption of like what the mecha genre is, but then if you look at, you know, the shows you listed, like Macross, Evangelion, Fooly Cooly, it actually is a genre that kind of truly runs the gamut, I think, and you know, is perhaps more diverse than I think people will necessarily give it credit for.
Yeah, I mean, again, those are the three I mentioned. Those are very, very different shows, but they all have, I guess, that mecha element to them. Iro, is there anything in particular you want to shout out?
The King of Braves, Gao Gaigar.
Okay, glad somebody brought that up.
And I mean, of course, like Gurren Lagann, which I feel like Gurren Lagann in particular is one everyone, or a lot of people, would list, but maybe not always bring up because it seems so obvious. Or at least it kind of seems that way to me.
I think I kind of get where you're coming from, right? Like it is, you know, maybe not in 2018 because,
right,
you know, this, I mean, is going to sound terrifying, yeah, but it's been 10 years since that show.
Yes. Like when I was in high school and Gurren Lagann was going on, like everybody I knew who watched anime was super into Gurren Lagann, yeah, you know, like. It was, and you know, there were the Code Geass people, but we didn't talk to them. Code Geass is fine, I'm kidding. But yeah, Gurren Lagann, definitely. But that did springboard me to Gao Gaigar, which I think is pretty well regarded among most.
I think so, yeah.
Who are like, and so like the tail end of the little super robot type stuff. I feel like there has been too many things quite on that like same wavelength as Gao Gaigar since.
Not in a while, no.
Yeah.
Well, you see, the something like Gao Gaigar is like something that I would just not even bother watching personally.
Right. I mean, it is extremely childish in a way, you know, it is of that kids show toy shilling ilk, that a lot of shows are.
Is this where we kind of get into the super robots versus real robots debate?
Sure. I mean,
yeah, we can, yeah, we can probably just get into that. Like, I'll just say real quick, like for me, it's like the quickest way I could sum it up is if you put a robot in your thing, that doesn't mean I'm going to automatically like it. If that were the case, I would be unironically repping Darling in the Franxx on Twitter, which I can assure you I am not, because that show is hot trash.
We're moving on. I just want to shout out G-Reco.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's don't worry, I have that in my notes, you know.
We'll
talk about it when the time comes, but I will say, like, the quickest way I could put it is a big robot will not instantly endear me to a show, but it will at least, it is a good way to catch my attention. But, you know, like many kids around my age, you know, I grew up on Toonami, so, you know, I was raised on a mix, you know, I was kind of inducted into the genre on a mix of Gundam Wing and G Gundam, kind of followed by Fooly Cooly and Big O a few years later, which would kind of solidify my affection for the genre. But, you know, basically, you know, Gundam, Gurren Lagann, all across the spectrum, I can find something to enjoy in basically all of it. So I don't know. Does that mean I have low standards or something? I don't know, but
so on balance, you're going to claim that you like Gundam.
I like Gundam.
Yeah. Yeah. I can,
from what I've seen mostly, I like Gundam.
Broadly say I like Gundam.
I mean, it is the first real robot show,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, so do we just, we want to get into kind of that split?
Sure.
And maybe just talk a little, you know, just we didn't want to turn this whole podcast into a history lesson, but I think this ideological split can maybe give us some groundwork to kind of explain where the genre has come and where or why we have concerns about where it goes from here. But basically, the mecha genre can be broadly divided into two types. These are not hard categories. They tend to mix in a lot of ways, and they often take inspiration from each other. But broadly, the two categories of mecha anime are considered real robot and super robot. Super robot is the older of the two and find its origins in 1960s with, you know, the origin of anime itself with the likes of Tetsujin 28 and Giant Robo, that sort of thing. You know, they would be, you know, later they would be solidified by anime's horny uncle, Go Nagai, who goes on to create Mazinger Z, kind of the defining super robot work.
It's the first super like robot that was piloted by a person and not just like controlled by remote control or was buddies with the kid whatever.
But you know, regardless of being piloted or not, super robot's kind of fundamental concept is basically treating the robot as a super heroic figure, you know, kind of akin to Western superhero media that, you know, Japan was taking inspiration from at the time. You know, the gimmick, of course, that, you know, these were still robots, you know, mechanical beings who could combine or transform or what have you, you know, and eventually the genre kind of evolves into shows that we mentioned like Gurren Lagann and Gao Gai Gar that very much play heavily on the aspect of the heroic nature of the pilot and their robot and their ability to overcome the odds.
Power of courage.
Yeah.
Et cetera. Yeah,
power of courage, friendship, you know, that all that good
stuff. Get a raise.
Yes. You know, it's kind of, you know, an intrinsically kind of sillier, lighter genre at times, but because of its inherent kind of, you know, bold, over-the-top nature, it can often be a very inspiring genre. Then in 1979, you have Yoshiyuki Tomino creating Mobile Suit Gundam. And this kind of irreversibly changes the landscape of the genre forever. For its time, it was a morally complex war drama that treated its giant robots like military hardware instead of metallic superheroes. You know, looking back on it now, of course, like having watched the original Gundam a few years ago, it's quite fantastical in a lot of ways, but
right.
Within the context of the time period it was created, it was a revolutionary work that basically changes the direction of the genre for the next 20 years. You know, later works kind of build on its foundation, like Votoms or Macross, and later anime like, you know, Full Metal Panic would solidify the genre's more grounded military aesthetic.
So it's like you can go on YouTube and find there's a big montage. It's like an hour long of all the mecha openings from the 1970s, and it's like the same super robot template at one after another, and like Mazinger and Combattler and Daitarn Getter and over and over and over, and then at the very very end is just Gundam. And you can see immediately how, while it still follows in these footsteps of these super robots where they're superheroes and stuff, how it's a complete like paradigm shift.
Totally. And
to being like war.
I think like having watched the original Gundam, it kind of gave me that context I needed as a fan that the genre is, I wish I could say constantly evolving. It's really not. But it has gone through some very major shifts over the years, you know, in kind of, you know, as a reflection and a response to the trends of society around it. It has rebranded itself many times, you know, to adopt new types of stories.
So, I think it was good to bring up the real robot, super robot thing, just because, like you said, it gives a lot of good context. I guess for me, I find it interesting, and maybe this is, you know, just my age or whatever, but when I think of like super robot anime, you know, that's what I think of as like, you know, mecha as the genre, whereas because those I think tend to be more sort of formulaic, if that's fair to say.
Sure.
And so, you know, all the kind of like the key tropes and stereotypes and things, I feel like come out of that. Whereas once you start entering into the real robot era, that's where you're just taking robots and applying it to then different genres. So I feel like that's kind of makes it, maybe that's part of why, because I never was much of a super robot type of fan. There are real robot shows I like because you could probably technically define them as a separate genre. That's probably painting with a very broad brush, but that's kind of the way, that's kind of like the broad generalization that I've kind of seen it as.
I mean, I think, I don't think, that's not wrong. I think like you are correct that what we stereotypically consider as mecha finds its foundations in the super robot genre. But I think with the real robot genre, you still call it mecha. It's just that what mecha can be, you know, broadened its horizons, you know, to use a similar genre that is, you know, often painted with a broad brush of having these very specific, you know, ingrained cultural tendencies. I think you can look at the fantasy genre.
Right.
When you think
of fantasy, it's all Tolkien and elves and such, right? But that's, you could just point to that as like where the genre got its modern self started. And, you know, there's a whole huge breadth of what fantasy can be that isn't just Tolkien-esque. But if you tell someone fantasy, that's what they think
of. Right, but I think that's kind of where I fall on where mecha anime kind of, you know, evolved from Gundam is, you know, in the same way that you would still call, you know, what, like Mistborn or Game of Thrones fantasy, despite not necessarily hewing to the old traditions of Tolkien-style fantasy. I think shows like Macross or Gundam that, you know, were not necessarily just purely about the robots, I think you still call those mecha, you know, even if, you know, the robots aren't the primary focus. I do think they are still an intrinsically important part of the genre, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I plan to get onto that later, you know, with our next topic, but I think even when they are not necessarily the front and center focus of the work, I think they still serve an important role in how they kind of define the work from just, you know, simple sci-fi.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of hard to explain, but like, I'm thinking like if you took Macross and just made them like regular conventional like tanks and planes, it wouldn't be the same. if you just kept the characters and you know their personal stories the same, you could do that. Like there wouldn't be anything preventing you from, you know, other than maybe trying to work out the 50-foot alien dudes. But you know, as far as like the actual, you know, like things that they're fighting with, their planes and tanks and stuff.
If the Valkyries were just planes and not transforming planes,
it wouldn't quite be the same. So yeah, and it's an interesting. I don't know if there's really an easy way to define that, but I definitely know what you're saying, where it's like they become an important part of the character of the show.
Yes. I think it's, for me, it's, I think it's that mecha is an inherently iconic genre. You know, you think about like the most famous mecha anime ever created, including the ones that are like known for also having like good characters and stories. You know, the first thing you think of, you know, is the Gundam, Ava Unit 1, Gunbuster. You know, it's, you know, the Valkyrie, I don't remember its full name, the VF-1. You know, they are as much characters in the show as the characters themselves. And I think, in a ways, because they are larger than life, they can be iconic in a way that mere people cannot. And I think that lends a lot of
They're the names of these shows.
Right, like, right. It lends a lot of worth to them.
It's not called the Hikaru Minmay show.
It's called
Super Dimensional Fortress Macross.
Though, who knows, maybe with like recent Macross shows, it would be more accurate to name them, you know.
Dumb Teenage Love Triangle. Part 4.
It's called Mobile Suit Gundam, you know. Yeah. It's called Gurren Lagann.
Yeah.
Right. So, all right. So, you know, we talked about how, you know, mecha changed from, you know, the super robot era with Gundam to the real robot era. And then as we hit the mid-90s, that's when Evangelion happened. And I don't know if, well, no, I know nothing has quite had the same impact on mecha since. And, you know, that was, you know, now over 20 years ago. So we're kind of still in this same space of, you know, this post-Evangelion world. And I feel like maybe things haven't really changed in like 20 years. Is that fair to say? Or like, go ahead, G.
Broadly, I think that is the correct thesis. It is that, like,
Cruel Angels
thesis. Yes, it is the Cruel Angels thesis. Is that just like Gundam permanently changed the landscape of mecha for the following decades, Evangelion kind of did the same thing to the mecha genre. And I think, unfortunately, for a lot of reasons, both in and out of the context of the genre itself, the industry was never able to quite capably respond to it in a meaningful way, in the same way that other mecha anime were able to respond to Gundam when it aired. You know, I think a lot of it is, how do I put it? I think a lot of it is that a lot of the anime industry took the wrong messages from Evangelion. Like, you know, as we could see with Darling in the Franxx in 2018, you know, mecha anime is still struggling to escape its titanic shadow,
right?
You know, and for better or worse, like, to be completely honest, the genre has always been about the few truly outstanding and revolutionary works, and then seeing the rest of the industry just kind of try and copy it to varying degrees of success. You know, with the original Gundam, you saw follow-up works like Votoms and Macross and Dogram. You know, many of these imitators would end up doing kind of, some would do cool new things and eventually craft their own unique identity that would go on to contribute to the weaving of the genre's zeitgeist. And I think the problem with Eva is none of the anime industry's responses were very good. You know, you had works like Razifon, which were just bad imitators. But then even other mecha anime...
Almost damned.
Right. Like, but then even other mecha anime that had nothing to do with Eva's like aesthetic or style, like, you know, Gasaraki or Blue Gender, which were nominally real robot anime with grounded military aesthetics, but then would both find themselves engaging in pseudo-philosophical navel-gazing in the last third. And
you know, that's what was popular, right? Ava was like the biggest mech show ever.
Right, and the problem there is like these shows that like just kind of looked at Ava and were like, well, I guess that's what mecha anime is now. I guess we have to do that. And, you know, 95% of them just did not have the chops to handle that kind of material.
And I think that's why I really like Gao Gaigar, is because in like the immediate post-Ava world, and it just goes full on 100%
totally.
Kid and super robot.
And I think,
and I mean, the Brave series died
sure,
for it.
But also, I think, yeah, like, it's not, I don't think it's, you would also say that no good mecha anime has come out since Ava, you know. In fact,
sure.
You know, I would actually list Die Guard, kind of an obscure mecha anime that aired
right.
a few years after Ava. Was actually maybe there's a paper to be written about Die Guard actually being maybe the best response to Eva that's ever been made, because it is a show about the description for this show is it is basically about realistic optimism. Basically, it's a show that is about how these inhuman angel ripoff monsters will never go away, and there is no way we can ever truly rid the world of them. But also, we, the human race, will never go away either. We will continue to fight against them, and we will continue to evolve and adapt to them, because, you know, just like a hurricane or a tornado, like, the human spirit will endure. You know, it takes more than
via giant robots.
Yes, via giant robots. But basically, it's going to take more than just a weird geometrically shaped monster to end the human race. And we don't need to resort to our most vile and base instincts to stop it. We can be noble and still not go quietly into the night. And, you know, you obviously have stuff like Tomino walking to the beat of his own drum with Turn A and G-Reco. You know, Full Metal Panic would, you know, maybe that's on the mind because of, you know, just recent, this recent season, you know, would continue to be a good, you know, fairly grounded, you know, mecha anime with a military aesthetic. Like, it's not that necessarily Ava killed mecha, as much as I love to, like, spout that line, but I think what Ava did is, for better or worse, I think it created this weird glass ceiling for the genre that it's never really been able to quite get out of, you know, like, you know, just, you know, might as well get out, you know, out here. Like, I have not actually finished watching Ava in its totality. You know, I've watched a couple episodes here and there, and I watched the Rebuild movie, the first Rebuild movie. But based on my understanding,
we'll get you on that one.
Ava itself is not a bad anime. And really, Ava...
No, it's a very good anime.
Like, Ava itself is not to blame for this. It's... I think it's really just... It created a paradigm that was extremely difficult to follow up on. And additionally, there is the economic aspect of it as well. Kind of, Ava was kind of created in the dying gasps of Japan's economy, you know? It was kind of the last of its breed, the high-budget mecha anime that didn't have to worry about being super commercialized.
Even Ava falls apart towards the last few episodes.
And the problem is that mecha anime is very expensive to make. You know, it is an inherently very complex genre visually. And
someone's got to draw all those screws.
Right. I mean, that's why you have the joke of mecha anime, you know, why am I watching the same transformation sequence every week? And it's like, dude, we spent months doing this shit. You think, you know, we're going to get our money's worth out of this. And why it's so intrinsically, like, toy-driven, right? Why everybody jokes that, oh, mecha is just one big toy commercial, as if not all of anime is not just one big commercial. But, you know, because it has to make its money back. Gundam would not exist without toy sales, you know? Gundam does not sell well enough on its own unless it was buoyed by the toys. And so, in 2018, with, you know, the industry and kind of the economic state it is in, you're not going to see daring indie mecha anime. You're not going to see stuff that's really swinging for the fences without a huge amount of financial backing. And that is going to inherently be kind of a more narratively conservative scope. And so I think it's kind of a twofold thing, right? Is both the lack of the economic support and also just the genre itself, or the industry itself, has never really tried to break away from that mold.
Yeah.
I want to take half a step back here, because we were talking about Evangelion quote unquote ruining the mecha industry.
Sure. I'm always willing to talk a little about that.
And just talk a little bit about why that perception exists. Just that sorry, there's motorcycles driving by my house for some reason right now. I don't know if that's coming through.
Yeah, go tell them to
the
get
biker back. Gangs are out in full force. They...
Yeah, the Evangelion biker gangs are showing up to it's Harmony Gold. It's Harmony Gold.
It's Harmony Gold.
They've come for us. They sent the people to my house.
Yeah, they sent their goons.
Oh, what was I saying? So yeah, this should all just be cut from the podcast. But yeah, so as far as Evangelion, you know, why does that perception exist? You know, I'll throw my two cents in. You know, obviously, it's very different than anything that came before it in the sense of, you know, if we want to throw the dirty word deconstruction out there, you know, it very specifically kind of has these elements of like the old super robot shows in there, especially in the beginning, that they kind of like, you know, try to make it feel like that kind of thing. And then they just blow the entire thing up and it becomes more of like a,
but it's dark.
Yeah. Dark, psychological, you know, spiritual, you know, examination of, you know, basically being, going through depression and, you know, all this,
right,
all this, you know, all these deeper concepts than just, you know, robots punching each other.
I think,
and
yeah, go ahead.
That, you know, obviously apparently struck a nerve with a very wide audience. Evangelion was a tremendous success. And so, you know, that alone is going to make people want to copy it. But, you know, you have to also wonder, you know, like, what do you do after that? after it's kind of destroyed, you know, all these, you know, stereotypes of the genre or whatever, you know, where do you go from there? So, you know, I'm sure, G, you have plenty of other things to say about that topic, but that's kind of my two cents on it.
So are we talking about, like, why is there the perception that Ava, quote-unquote, destroys mecha anime? Or
our perception or reality, your choice.
I think it's actually, I'm going to be as generous as I can here, or charitable. And it is a twofold problem. You know, like, because it is such an old genre, a lot of mecha anime fans are, you know, they're very set in their ways, right? Like, they like mecha anime for these very specific reasons. And anything that changes that is going to be kind of pushed back against pretty heavily. And so you definitely have that element of, you know, the very like bitter mecha fan who's like, they don't make them like they used to anymore, which, to be fair, is kind of true. But, you know, there are a variety of reasons for that beyond just Evangelion. And I think the other problem is, you know, the one that I personally have more of an issue with is the kind of unfair perception that Evangelion is the alpha and omega of the mecha genre. There is this, I think it's very easy for a lot of, you know, wider mecha, I mean, anime fans to kind of fall into the trap of, you know,
this is the first one I saw, so it must be the only
right,
one.
Right, the idea that, oh, like, Evangelion is great because it did all these, like, subversive things that the mecha genre has never done before. And, you know, I take a lot of umbrage with that because Ava, like all fiction, it is building, you know, it is building on the foundation and the accomplishments of what came before it. It is, you know, every element of it could not exist without the mecha genre being what it was before it came to being, you know? Even, you know, we were talking about this the other day, like, even something like the relationship between Shinji and his father, you know, which is, you know, I think a lot of people will say, oh, this is like a really like subversive kind of, you know, dark thing, right? Like a child and his parent having this kind of like very kind of grim relationship, you know, and that relationship could only exist if the mecha genre had, you know, decades of establishing, you know, parent and child as a unique relationship, you know. Koji Kabuto, you know, gets into the Mazinger that is built by his grandfather. You know, Amuro Ray pilots the Gundam built by his father. You know, it's these specific tropes do not exist in a vacuum. They are inspired by each other. And hell, even the trope of Shinji's very poor relationship with his father has its roots in even something like Gundam, in which, you know, Amuro Ray, by the end of the original Gundam, basically permanently cuts himself off from his parents and never speaks to them ever again. You know, it's these, and that specific example, I think, speaks to a greater whole of like the idea that, like, oh, Ava is great on its own merits, that I don't, and some of it is on its own merits, you know, some of it is very much because of Hideki Anno's, like, very clear vision of what he wanted to create, but that clear vision could only exist in response to the context of what was already there at the time. And, you know, and I think it kind of leads to the problem, I think, of, like, the idea that, like, or it kind of leads to the problem, I think, that some people will say disingenuously, is that Ava is the only mecha anime that matters because it's the only one that's quote-unquote important. And, you know, again, we're talking about giant robots here. I'm not going to, like, say, oh, actually, let me list these other mecha anime that are super deep and nuanced, you know, but what I will say is I don't think that necessarily it is invalid to enjoy something because of its presentation and its style and the usage of its visual affectation, necessarily.
Right. I guess the problem then is not even just so much people think it's the end-all be-all of mecha anime, but on top of that, apparently the anime industry has also thought that.
Also, and we've that. Pretty much been getting, yes. So that is the other problem.
Evangelion copies for the past 20 years if somebody does decide to make mecha anime at all.
Yeah, I feel like freaking every large scale show ends with human instrumentality in one way or another.
I mean, that looks like what Darling the Franks is literally seeming to head towards, right?
So. And, you know, I'll point out, I do want to point out, you know, because it's not even just the content. I mean, obviously there's just less mecha since the early 2000s.
Right.
And I think a lot of that, and this is an entirely different discussion, but I'm just going to point out a lot of that is the moe boom and the shift over to from, you know, otaku liking robots over to them liking cute girls. So I think you could probably
okay, but what if the girl? What if robots?
Well, that's the perfect show then, right? But the
of course.
But you know, I think there's something to be said for that as far as the decline of like number of shows. You know, people are going to make what's popular, and that got popular. So
sure. And I think
so. There, you know, there's that. Sorry, go ahead. There's the economic factors that you pointed out. But you know, we're looking at the shows that we are getting. Because they still are making mecha shows, just not as much as they used to, but they still exist. Have been, basically trying to copy Evangelion, keyword on trying, for the most part. And, you know, the rarities that aren't, you know, just kind of feel like throwbacks or whatever.
Are trying to copy Gundam.
Yes.
Or you're trying to copy Gundam. Or the super rare ones, like something like Gurren Lagann. You know, Gurren Lagann feels like, kind of felt like a throwback.
It most certainly was. I mean,
yeah. So, you know, that's kind of where we've been at since for the past 20 years. Yeah. But I mean, I think it's safe to say there still have been some good shows. Like, well, I'm just gonna bring that up and pass it over to you guys. But,
okay, are we? Okay,
has there been any good recent shows in the past couple of years that aren't just like Evangelion clones or that stand on their own?
I was wondering when we were gonna loop back to the earlier parts of these production notes, but
yes, I know we're kind of all over the place, but I felt like it was good to get the Evangelion thing out of the way first before we got into the.
Oh, I don't know. I was almost hoping we were going to save that for the end, but I guess good to use up all my energy on that, right? To get that monster out of the way.
Well, see, now we can talk about some good things.
Sure, sure. But yes, if we want to talk about like good mech anime since 2010, I'm not. I could be more pessimistic, but I want this podcast to be about like why I love mecha anime. So, you know, I'm going to try and do my best and focus on the positives here. And I will say that I think a lot of good mecha anime since 2010 are the ones that I think for me, like because of my bias, are the ones that are not trying to emulate Ava too hard, if that makes sense. Because again, it's like, I truly believe we should have more mecha anime or just anime in general that does try to tackle, higher minded topics. But, you know, if you can't handle that, You know, there is literally nothing wrong with being just a very, you know, a very good show, you know? I mean, to use one of the examples, like, you know, to use a not necessarily mecha-related example, you know, Megalobox is maybe one of our favorite shows of the season, and that can be very good just because of presentation, style, and execution. And I think the good mecha anime out there right now are the ones that are kind of focusing on that. You know, you have shows like Gundam Build Fighters, or, you know, in this current season, Full Metal Panic, you know, or to go back a few years, was Majestic Prince made? How
it was in the Glorio era.
Was Majestic Prince made before
2012, right? Something like that.
Okay, that's
2013.
Okay, that movie like a little like this year. So there you go.
Yeah. You have these good shows that
movie was
right, or you know what, even Gundam Reconquista in G, or just G Reco, like you can have good mecha anime.
Wait, are you guys finally admitting G Reco is good?
G Reco is. Jiroko is.
See, that's the response I'm used to getting when I ask you guys, is Jiroko good?
My brain gets feverish trying to talk about it. But
let's say yes.
It's important.
Yes?
I think it is. I adamantly believe that in 10 years, people are going to be looking at Jiroko and being like, y'all fucking didn't get it. This show was trying to explain it to you, and you all were just too busy talking about the girl with the brain damage talking about poop. But you didn't get like what it was actually trying to talk about.
You guys have watched the show like 3 times. But, I mean, you might as well just say it's good
because it's special.
Sure, let's say it's
unlike any other. It's capital S special. Capital S and special.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, for example, to use something that's airing right now, Full Metal Panic. I'm enjoying Full Metal Panic a ton. And even when it's not focusing on the robots a ton, it's been very good because it knows its tone, it knows what kind of story it's trying to tell, and it focuses on that, you know? It's a relatively grounded, you know, military mecha show, and that's what it focuses on. It knows its strengths and it works to them, you know. And does that make it perhaps?
So you're telling me it's good without the robots.
but you know, it would not be nearly as good if it didn't have the robots. Because yes. I think do you guys want me to give my speech of why I think mecha is good now or later, basically? I need you guys to be honest with me on, because that I got that loaded in the chamber basically any time.
Okay. So before you start firing all over the place here, just to, you know, Iroh asks that question because one of the things that we've discussed, you know, off air is, you know, the idea that, you know, people like mecha shows and say, you know, oh, it's good because it would be good without the robots, and kind of being very dismissive about the mecha element and how important it is to a show. And, you know, that's kind of tying back to a little bit what I was saying earlier, how, you know, the shows I like, I don't think about the robots, but then when I really think about it, then I'm like, oh, well, it would not be the same without them. But that attitude is out there, where, you know, people feel like, you know, the robots themselves aren't important. They just happen to be there. And really the more important thing is the story or whatever. But
I mean, it's like you said, how that story wouldn't be there without the robots. Like, it's really kind of myopic to say, oh, to be good without the robots, but then it wouldn't be there at all. Because it's a complete work, right?
Yes.
Without all those aspects working in tandem, it's not the same thing. It's a really, like, narrow-minded. Like, I could say about any show, well, it would be good without this, as long as the characters are well-written or whatever.
I mean, I think it takes the kind of narrow-minded idea that genre exists mutually exclusive of character and narrative, right? Like, it is the idea that, oh, you know, a good a good narrative can exist in any genre, but then in that case, does that imply that the genre is irrelevant? Like, okay, here's how I come down on it.
It's sophistry. Like, you say, yeah, that's true, but you still have to start it off with, like, yes, that's right. True. And so,
and I think the way I'll come down on it is that, like, if mecha is an affectation, a mode of presentation, or if you want to be harsh, a mere set dressing, then sure, you know what? Maybe that's fine, actually, you know? Because anime is a visual medium. And I think, like all visual mediums, compelling characters and narratives are important elements, but they are frameworked by exciting and interesting visuals. Like, all right, like let me lay down a boiling take here, but I don't think there is no such thing as a great anime that looks bad, because this is a visual medium we're talking about. If we are engaging with a visual medium, then are the visuals not as important as every other element of it? And so,
sure,
yes.
Yeah. I make that argument all the time for any genre. Like, I always use my favorite go-to example, and it's, you know, just unrelated to mecha, but just as that concept is Kids on the Slope.
Sure.
So, like, that is a pretty decent anime, but there's literally no reason for it to be anime. You could have done that live action and accomplished basically the same purpose. And like, it looks okay, it looks nice and everything, but like, it's, there's no like visual element to it that would have been better served just being live action or something like that. So, you know, part of, you know, why we watch anime is that unique, that ability to make unique visual style. So
it's the unique visual spectacle that only its medium can bring to the table. You know, like we talk about stuff like, you know, like Ping Pong the anime or Mob Psycho 100, right? And it's like, we say it has to be anime, right? It couldn't be live action. It couldn't be a book, you know?
Well, I don't know, on Netflix right now, Mob Psycho 100.
I mean, yes, that's why I was thinking, live action that's why I was thinking about it. Is like, they had to be anime. And why? Why did they have to be anime? And it's because of what they do with the visual medium. And you can't tell me that those shows would be as valid without their unique and exciting and compelling imagery. And so if mechs are just a set dressing, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, because set dressing is important for a visual medium. You know, the way I would put it is, for me personally, you know, okay, let's use Dragon Pilot, because that's airing this season. Dragon Pilot is, you know, about a young female member of the Air Force who is frankly more of a fuck up than would probably be allowed in the military, but, you know, we will accept the premise, right? And it's about her and the relationship with her fellow Air Force members and her transforming jet dragon. And would I have watched this show without the transforming jet dragon? Maybe. But maybe. Would I have been compelled or excited without it? I don't think so. Like, even if it is a set dressing, even if it is just an affectation, I think, you know, I don't think there's, right, I don't think there's any reason to be dismissive about that. I think it can be just as important as the characters and the visuals. And obviously, you know, it can go the other way around, right? Like, a good-looking show with cool mechs but bad story and bad characters is not going to be a compelling piece of work.
And all we're doing is shitting on Darling in the Franxx all day
exactly
long.
Exactly. That's maybe one of the prettiest shows this season. And, you know, I think it's just like with any piece of work, right? Like, they are all working in tandem. You know, they all, to be truly great, they all need to be running at full cylinders, basically.
If Dragon Pilot didn't have transforming jet dragons, then it might as well just be a live-action show. So,
I don't know. That animation style is very.
Yeah,
even if they didn't have the jet dragons, I would still be like, man, this is a really nice looking show.
Yeah.
But
well,
you know, I also probably wouldn't be nearly as invested.
Since we're talking about shows airing this season, it's kind of interesting. There are a couple of mecha anime going this season, which kind of gives an interesting snapshot of our current state of things. So, you know, I don't know, G, if you want to hit on some of those. You know, we've kind of already talked a little bit about Full Metal Panic as a good example. But, you know, I'll throw out and remind everyone, Full Metal Panic is also 13 years old, or yes, more than that, really.
Yes. I mean,
so yeah, go ahead.
Honestly, that actually does tie into my thesis of why mecha anime can still be good now, but why I still worry about the future of the genre, is because the best mecha anime airing now are the ones that are specifically calling back to a pre-established and older era of the genre. Like, I watch Full Metal Panic, and I'm just like, yeah, good old times. And that's a frightening concept to think about, that Full Metal Panic is now considered the good old days of mecha anime. It's it's a terrifying prospect, but also it goes back to, like, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to lean on what your forebearers have done. It's just a shame that, you know, we aren't moving forward. But to talk about another mecha anime that also leans on its legacy, but perhaps doesn't do it as effectively, we can talk about Gundam Buildivers. You know, like, if we want to talk about, like, true mecha anime, like, true in the sense of what mecha anime is as a 22-minute toy commercial.
So, yeah, I would say, I feel like Buildivers specifically, more so than even Gundam Build Fighters, its predecessor, like, it's leaning more on the kids show, like, formula and tropes than the mecha formula yes. tropes. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think as a result, it's kind of starting to lose its unique identity.
Right. Like, when I'm watching Gundam Buildivers, it doesn't tweak the same bits of my brain that I get from watching a mech show. It tweaks the bits of my brain that I get from watching, like, Digimon.
Digimon, right.
Which is, you know, yeah.
So they just happen to have Gundams instead of Digimon.
Yeah.
Right.
But I did just want to bring it up because, like, in part of, like, my grander fucking interconnected corkboard web of, like, what the mecha genre is. Like, I think Buildivers is a great example of, like, why mecha is the way it is because, like, when it is such an expensive genre that is so, like, reliant on being merchandise driven, why wouldn't you just rely on the safest bet? And Gundam Buildivers is as safe as you can get. You know, it is toys and robots and selling of toys, and, you know, for better or worse, like, that can be good, as, you know, you see with, like, right, Gaogaigar or, you know, the original Gundam Build Fighters, but it also does kind of speak to the unfortunate state of things where the genre feels like it has to be so safe.
Right, you have to make it financially viable.
Hedge your bets.
Right. Still better than Darling in the Franxx, though, right?
Yes. I mean, that is the quite a low bar, but yes. If we,
oh, boy. Franxx is trying to be Ava so much. It wants to be Ava. It wants to have the, like, deep psychological story with cool robots, and it can't do...
Fails so miserably.
Can't do it.
I gave up after three episodes myself, but from what I've heard, it's basically... The problem, like, the perfect example of the problem we were talking about in the post-Evangelion world where everyone has felt like they had to copy it. Like, I feel, yes. Franxx feels like the type of show that could have been made at any point between 1996 and now.
And, totally.
It wouldn't have seemed out of place at any point.
Literally, the only way Franxx could ever be considered good is if it came out in 1994.
Like, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like... The problem is, I mean, you know, there's a line I'm saving for our final thoughts post for Darling in the Franxx, but Darling in the Franxx is basically everything wrong with the mecha genre in 2018. It's the show that has taken all of the wrong lessons from Ava. Every single one. Every single lesson, both good and ill, that Ava perhaps sought to teach the genre, it took every single wrong one. And it is the Darling in the Franxx is the David Cage Quantum Dream
let's slip that in. Yes.
it is the anime that verbally says out loud the, in scare quotes, capital I, important topics of mecha anime without even a smidgen of the understanding of why those topics are considered important or why those topics are considered worthwhile or worth exploring in the genre. And it's just so clumsy in every sense of the word. It is just so ham-fisted.
It's putting in important sounding topics for the sake of sounding important, but not actually thinking about what they mean or giving any meaning to them.
Exactly.
To the point where it's almost...
There's no weight to its words.
And there seems like they're dabbling in some pretty bad topics that they should not be dabbling in, but we'll probably talk more about that in the final wrap up post specifically about some of the themes that are bringing up that are pretty problematic. But
maybe
just the general idea of them bringing up trying to sound like they're deep and meaningful and not executing.
What's actually fucking basic shit?
Yeah, basically.
The Quantic Dream and one was good. If you want to do six degrees of separation with Quantic Dream, it's the same writer as Plastic Memories, which is a story about being in love with an android.
Oh, boy. Anyway.
That's all right.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just strange to me that we still get shows like Frank's, like, into 2018.
It's mystifying. It is mystifying.
Yeah, that literally nothing has changed for like 20 years where you could get a show like that and it seems like, oh, well, that's kind of par for the course. And that's, I guess, kind of been the main problem since Ava.
It's the problem where I don't think mecha anime shouldn't try to emulate Ava. I think it could and it should. But it just never seems to try to do its own thing. You know, like, to use an example I've been thinking about is the mecha anime Pat Labor, which, if you're not familiar with it, is a OVA series of movies and a TV series about cops and robots, basically, and them dealing with robot crime in their robots. And it's a very good series. I really love it as a whole. And I was thinking about it and I was like, I guess this is a real robot anime. And you compare that to Gundam, right? Which is about, you know, a war. And even just something as simple as, instead of what if the robots were soldiers, but what if the robots were cops, totally changes the paradigm, totally changes the tone and the approach, and turns it into a fun, fresh response to what the real robot genre was. And you don't see that with anything post-Ava. You don't see your Pat Labor of Evangelion, right? You don't have your mecha anime that are willing to even just change that parameter even one degree to create something new and fresh. And Frank's is just kind of emblematic of all of that.
Yeah, it always boils down to some big, you know, world-ending conspiracy theory thing, and yeah, it's the same.
And also, that man is the true monster.
Yeah, same. We have to implement human instrumentality to save the world. It's the same plot over and over again. But yeah, but I guess what you just said, G, kind of leads us to our biggest and final question here is, what new things can we possibly do? Like, where can mecha go from here? Like, what do we want to see happen if it's not happening? You know, what would we like to see?
It's a tough question because basically what the genre needs is another genre-defining work. And, you know, frankly, those come, you know, once in a blue moon. You know, I'd say once a decade, but... You know, it's been 10 years since Gurren Lagann, and not even that, we haven't even seen anything like that since. And, you know, ironically, you know, Gurren Lagann probably should have been the last truly impactful mecha anime. It should have been the one that rocked the core of the genre and had people once again thinking, oh, maybe we could start doing stuff like this again. And I think a lot of that just ties back to economics again. Gainax was the only studio that could create something like Gurren Lagann. Like, nobody could follow up on that because, you know, it's kind of a well... It's been written about, it's kind of a well-known thing, is that, like, the tragedy of it is that the greats of the mecha genre are aging out, you know? Tomino is 80-something, you know?
How old is Obari at this point?
Right, like, a lot of the people who created what the genre is are getting old, and because there isn't a demand for new shows, you know, of its type, they are not teaching the new generation how to animate that way. So, you know, like when Emaishi and his crew at Trigger are considered some of the youngest names in the genre, and, you know, those guys are like, I don't know, in their 40s and 50s, I imagine. Like, it's, you're talking about kind of an old genre. And
yep.
I think that is why
you need new blood. That's the troubling thing, is like, part of the new blood, it would be somebody like Nishigori, who's I think in his 30s or something, and he's
like him, but
he was, you know, part of Gainax, but look what he's done with his
him on striking on his own.
Just keep him on like design,
right,
and animation.
Like, that's the problem, right? He's like, you know, Nishigori actually played a pretty big role in Gurren Lagann. It's just, you know, he was working with a superbly talented team that he doesn't have with him anymore. And, you know,
yeah,
with a heavy heart, I have to say, I think where mecha perhaps can find its way out is in the optimization and eventual mastery of animated CG. You know, you look at stuff like Majestic Prince, and I think there is a way for anime to use CG well, you know, or yes, Babuki Baranki. Yes. You know, like all things, CG is a tool. And unfortunately right now it's one that Japan currently struggles to utilize, but you know, given enough time, I think we could see a world where the technology improves enough that mecha CG can rival and emulate the best of its 2D counterparts. And in that world, then animating mecha becomes cheaper, and when it becomes cheaper, it becomes more viable. And when it becomes more economically viable, then that is how you get studios willing to try newer, bolder, more unique things. You know, it's just, unfortunately, we live in an era where you still get shit like Jushinki Pandora that are basically using like PS2 CG cutscene tier CG in anime in 2018, and it just doesn't look good. And it's confusing because that anime came out in 2018, whereas Majestic Prince came out like 5 years ago. So it makes you wonder, is the technology there and it's just that the talent isn't there yet, or what?
Just side point on that, I find that really weird with because that's Satellite does that, right? It's because that's basically
Satellite.
Yeah, that's basically Kawamori Studio at this point. They basically do mecha in like every show, and you know, I've watched many of them, like going back to like, oh, you know, God forbid, let's mention Total Eclipse, or like you know, Bodacious Space Pirates had a lot of mecha in it, and it's they do the new Macross shows are them, and like their CG hasn't changed in like 10 years. Like, they haven't gotten better at it. Like, I don't understand why. And you know, somebody like, you know, Doga Kobo can pull out Majestic Prince, who don't do mecha normally.
Right. Orange.
Oh, mainly with the help of Studio
Orange. Well, Orange.
But yeah.
Yeah, with Orange. But yeah, you know, whether they did it or not, they found somebody who could do it.
Right. They found someone who could do it years ago.
So, like, I don't understand why.
CG mecha, it's just Orange and Suns again at this point.
I think doing anything decent. We could get really into the weeds about like specifically like the elements of like stuff like timing and what frames per second they are rendering at and stuff like that. But I think the long and short of it is a lot of CG mecha in anime right now are trying to emulate the timing and the particulars of 2D hand-drawn mecha anime, but because they are rendered in 3D, it just makes them look kind of janky, to be honest. It makes them look weird and unfitting. You know, the best CG mecha lean into the strengths of CG, you know, like Majestic Prince has these extremely dynamic camera turns that would be impossible or prohibitively expensive to pull off with 2D. And so, and it's also a show that understands that we cannot afford to spend like 5 seconds lingering on a still of our mech, because the longer you do that, the more the CG starts to show. So it keeps things, you know, fast and frantic. And, you know, that is definitely a way to do mecha anime. It's a different way, but it's an equally valid one that can be just as exciting to watch when executed well. And so I think in many ways, like, you saw this phenomenon happen a lot with the rise of digital illustration and Photoshop, is that a lot of traditional illustrators couldn't necessarily make the jump to digital illustration. They struggled with its tools, and they tried to apply old concepts to, you know, a new medium, and as a result, you know, their work suffered as a result. And I think you're kind of seeing that now with CG animation and anime, is maybe a lot of old talents are trying to do what they've always known with it, and it's not necessarily working out. And that isn't to say you can't emulate 2D style mecha with CG, you know, like Babuki Baranki gets very close. Like, it's definitely possible, but it takes a very deft hand, I think. And so if I'm being optimistic, then it's just a matter of time, you know, like, just like, you know, CG in the West, you know, it's just a matter of time until the talent grows and becomes more accustomed to the tools and improves with them. You know, it's just whether the genre can weather that storm long enough for that to happen is the question, I suppose.
Yeah. You know, kind of putting the technical challenges aside, and I think that's all great points. You know, we're yet to see the big, you know, 3D mecha masterpiece that somebody is probably bound to make in the near future, hopefully. But
right, we basically need like the paper man of mecha anime, you know, like just the proof of concept. But
yeah, so I think. You know, if we're being optimistic, then, you know, surely somebody will nail that someday, and, you know, and then everybody will start copying them, you know, and just like they always do. But just thinking about content, it's like, obviously, if we're easy enough for us to just say, well, here's some fresh new ideas that nobody's done before, then somebody probably would have done them. But, and, you know, for, you know, you know, mecha has been around for, you know, 40 years or whatever. So like, there's not a lot of ground to cover that hasn't been covered already. You know, it's been applied to so many different genres. You know, I feel like if you, you know, you even mentioned, you know, Gurren Lagann being 10 years ago, even 10 years ago, Gurren Lagann felt like a throwback, like we were saying, you know, that wasn't necessarily a completely brand new, you know, concept as far as, you know, the robots and the themes and the things that they were doing. So, you know, maybe there's not a lot of new ground to cover, and that's, I think it's okay, because I mean, you can keep, like, we kind of talked about the difference between like mecha as a genre, and the way I, you know, I was thinking about it as like the old super robots, where there's, you know, certain things that you always see in every show, versus, you know, mecha as I guess sort of a visual aesthetic you can pretty much apply it to any genre. Like, I mean, surely there's been a slice of life mecha show out there somewhere that we could, if we dug.
I mean, that's PAL Labor. So,
right. So, yes. I mean, like so long as, you know, that exists, you know, I think we're always going to have that element that people are going to include in, you know, any genre, any show. And I guess maybe just the important thing is that people keep making good shows. And
I agree. I think it's just like with any genre, right? As it matures, right? As it grows, it grows both broad and it becomes broader and deeper in both ways, right? It expands what the genre can be. And over time, it also looks more intensely at what it has been and where it can go from there. And I guess content-wise, like, where mecha anime can go from here, I guess it's, you know, once again, it needs to look towards where mecha anime has always kind of looked, or it's always kind of been a reflection of, like all media, mecha has always been a reflection of society's trends. You know, the original mecha anime owes its inspiration to Western superheroes, whereas, you know, real robots then kind of looked at the imagery of war and, you know, specifically the first Gulf War, and kind of molded its aesthetic accordingly. And then finally you have stuff like Evangelion, which looked inwards in kind of the way only a child of postmodernism could. So in 2018, I guess, you know, if I had the answer, I would
I'd be banging on
Sunrise's door and I'd be like, fucking look at my script, damn it. But I don't. So all I can really say is I think just Becca must once again find a new muse to inspire it.
Something unique to our times.
Yes, something unique to our times. That's a great way to put it.
Right, which, again, if it were that simple for us to just say something, then we'd be working on it right now. But
yes.
Yeah. You know, maybe something in, like, political unrest, political division.
Sure, sure.
Something like that.
You know, like, in our, you know, it's in an era, in the era we live in, right? Like, maybe that is the way for mecha to go. Maybe mecha needs to become more socially relevant. You know, maybe just like, you know, because, again, if Eva was like the postmodern, like, inward look at the genre, then we now live in an era where we must once again kind of look outward at, you know, the world we live in and how we can, you know, kind of deal with the nightmare hellscape we live in.
Franks is trying to do.
Yes, I mean, the sad fact of the matter is that literally we need shows like Franks but are good. So.
Right. Right. So, if go ahead and bring up gender and sexuality and stuff like that, but then actually have something good to say about it.
Don't be shitty about it, basically.
That is a good
like,
point.
Yeah, like that's a thing. Like, it's a weird way. It's weird to say, but yes, we do need we do need mecha anime like Franks that look at gender and relationships and that sort of thing. But we need them to do them without, you know, the subtlety of a fucking sledgehammer, you know, and also not with like kind of weird, shitty personal politics that are kind of unique to Japan. But that's a whole nother can of worms that we don't have time to get into here. But
yeah, I think we'll have a few words for that later on.
We'll have words.
But yes, if not on the podcast, then I'm sure you guys have already been writing about it. So everybody, go read the posts that G and Zig have been doing. They've been great on tearing that show apart. Yeah. All right, so basically, we don't know what's going to happen, and
when do we ever?
there's always hope, right? There's always hope.
Yes, yes.
I think we've kind of pointed out some interesting areas. So somebody needs to make a 3D animated masterpiece about gender and sexuality that, you know, tackles the topics of the day and
and also has cool robots.
Yes.
You know, we can't, it can't be forgotten
right
here. You know,
it would have to have the cool animated robots and, yeah. But, yeah. So, I think there's hope for more good shows in the future. And, you know, I don't think, mecha's never going to die the way people say it's dead. It's always going to be sticking around as, you know, whether it's part of other types of genres or whatever, you know, that's just, it's part of anime. So long as anime exists, mecha will continue to exist. So,
I mean, I think, you know, like, this is where I could start getting real navel-gazy, but, like, it is, you know, I think to a certain extent, this may be perhaps just my extremely, like, distorted worldview, but I think big robots will always have a certain appeal with some people. You know, it's an immediately relatable trope, I think. So it'll be around in some form or another,
right.
I think.
It is part of anime's DNA, like I said in the beginning. It's yes. So long as we have anime, we'll have cool robots. Maybe just not as many as we'd like.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I think that that about does it for our discussion today. State of Mecha.
State of Mecha.
And you know, like I mentioned, everybody keep an eye on the Franks posts because that's kind of the hot topic right now. And we'll have more to say about that in Full Metal Panic, I'm sure, in our season wrap up in a couple weeks. That's coming up fast. So, just as far as other housekeeping goes, you know, you can read everything that we do at theglorioblog.com. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at theglorioblog. You know, like, comment, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your enemies. We don't care if they all count the same. So that's going to do it. And I think, did you have some final words, G?
Wait, I have a closer. I have a closer that I need to give. So.
Okay.
Before you give your closer, let me shout out the continuing the thing that has continued Mecha after 40 years, Super Sentai.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. That's true. I didn't talk about that because it's not my area of expertise, but yes. Sentai will probably keep robots around in some form or another.
Men in robot suits.
Men in rubber robot suits is still cheap in 2018, so there will always be...
Indeed, it's still financially viable.
There will always be Super Sentai.
Yes.
Go ahead, G. Give us your closing statements.
We never got around to it, but I basically just wanted to talk why specifically I think mecha anime is such a special genre. And for me, it's that mecha anime operates on a scale and scope of visual presentation that truly cannot be replicated by any other genre, I believe. On both ends of the spectrum, both real and super, they are the mundane made mighty. Because they are man-made, mecha are the physical incarnation, the logical conclusion of human technological advancement in both its self-celebrating glory and its vanity. To quote games critic Austin Walker, we could have made them look like anything, but we made them look like us. And I think at its core, that gets to why it can be such an inspiring and compelling genre. It is the melding of both the humanistic inspiration of superheroes and the technological awe of science fiction. You know,
at some point when you build the better people that are bigger and more powerful than we could ever hope to be on our own.
Right. And, you know, to I guess cap it off, you know, the other day, right, we were watching Gurren Lagann. And rewatching that, you know, made me feel something deep in my bones, you know, a spark, a swelling fire that I haven't felt in years. And, you know, that show is about a young man summoning a physical drill so large it can literally pierce galaxies and the heavens themselves. It's a stupid fucking show, but only mecha could do that. You know, if the genre itself is considered shallow or a set dressing childish or on its way out, so be it. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I think you can never discount the unique passion this genre can inspire in its fans like none other. And it's that feeling in me that I struggle to explain that I feel is what makes the mecha genre worthwhile.
Well, thank you for sharing that, G. I know, you know, we joke around a lot, but I know this is very important to you. It's, you know, something that, you know, not to put too much of your personal business out there, but part of the career you're trying to pursue, and I know it's an important and inspiring topic for you. So, you know, I'm glad that we were able to talk about it and, you know, let you get your get the hell off your chest. So,
yeah, and I mean, like, look, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to ascribe the genre with any higher importance than any other piece of pop culture, right? Like, at its core, you know, we're talking about big robots here, but, you know, I think it's like any genre fiction, right? You know, it's easy to look at and wonder why people get so passionate about it, but, you know, I think there has to be something special about it, or else people would not be so invested in it.
Right. 40, 50 years later, we're still talking about it. So, all right. Well, then I think that's a good place to end. Good conversation there. We've already done our housekeeping, so we're just going to say goodbye till next time. So, bye, everybody.
See you next time.
See you later.